Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we're going to have a conversation today, y'all. It's not going to be an easy one, and I want everyone out there in listener land to know, just going in, this is going to be a tough convo. So if you feel like you can't hang with some stuff, then maybe give it a rest and catch the next one. But today I'm talking to Mary Dukes and Lindsay Fetters and Carissa Shimpino, if she can make it. And we're going to talk about ShowSafe, and we're going to talk about how and why this sort of grassroots organization came together and what it entails and what the goals are. Pure Dog Talk is proudly sponsored by Trupanion, medical insurance for the life of your pet. This year, give your buyers the gift of peace of mind with a special go-home day offer from Trupanion. This offer provides puppies with immediate coverage, so they're protected should they get into mischief in their new homes. Trupanion covers pets against unexpected accidents and illnesses with no payout limits, helping ease the financial burden when a pet gets sick or injured. Even better, Trupanion is able to pay the veterinarian directly at the time of checkout, which means less out-of-pocket for your buyers. You can get this special offer for your buyers as part of the Breeder Support Program. It's completely free to join and available for breeders in the US, Canada, and Australia. Getting started is quick and easy. Just follow the link on my partner page at puredogtalk.com to get started. And I'm coming today to talk to you about Brilliant Pad, and it is amazing and an incredible way for me to do my potty training with the puppies and not ever have to touch any yucky stuff. Brilliant Pad literally rolls the mess up and you never touch it. So I really wanted to talk to you guys about that, share with you the experience I had with it. It's like the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Welcome, ladies. I'm really, really glad to have you here.
Thank you much.
Thanks for having us.
Mary, I'm going to start with you. Listeners will remember Mary and I had the conversation about Safe Sport when I did her interview a couple months ago. So I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, Mary, and talk about how and why this particular spinoff got started.
Yeah, this spinoff. Yeah. And actually, Carissa was instrumental initially in getting Safe Sport enacted for the AKC-RHP, which is the Registered Handlers Program. Because she had talked to me in Orlando several years ago about, you know, experiences she'd had. And now that she was a mom, she was found that she was like super protective of her kids and her girls that worked for her. And there must be something we can do. And so I knew about Safe Sport through my daughter, who's a professional horse trainer. And Safe Sport is a congressionally mandated, government mandated program for all Olympic sports that came in after the multitude of abuses in gymnastics, swimming, diving, I could go on. So anyway, I was familiar with it because my daughter shows horses, and since equestrian events are an Olympic sport, she has to take Safe Sport and a re-up every year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I got it in for the Registered Handlers Program. And then I always had wanted to expand it, and I always advocated to expand it to, at the very least, juniors judges. Mm-hmm. But while I was employed by the AKC, I was never able to get that done, because it just kept hitting a brick wall. So anyway, I mean, this whole thing came to a head because of, let's just, you know, say it, Adam King. Mm-hmm. Because let's be real, who saw that coming?
Like nobody.
No.
I had to go take down three podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Three
podcast episodes. Nobody saw that coming. Yeah. And would this have done anything to prevent that? I don't think anything. A background check wouldn't have helped. He hadn't been busted yet. This wouldn't have helped. There were no tells, clearly, to any of us, except the FBI, who's very good at that sort of thing, that this was even a thing. I never got a creepy vibe from him. I mean, I liked him.
No, you know, there it is. Like I said, I spent a good bit of time with him on the podcast. ringside doing mentoring. You know, I wasn't a close personal friend, but I got none of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was charming, funny, smart, you know, all those things. Anyway, so everybody obviously was reeling after this came out. And Lindsay is the one who sent me a message. And Lindsay, I think that you had reached out to me previously on Safe Sport because everybody has a story. Everybody has a story.
Definitely. Definitely.
To varying degrees. Right. You know, I feel like mine is relatively minor in the big scheme of things, but everybody has a story of being inappropriately touched, inappropriately propositioned, all that. So fast forward.
Lindsay, tell us why you came to Mary.
So I definitely agree. I mean, everyone's up in arms. And I think historically, we all, something happens, everybody jumps and rushes, no matter what it is, you know, violence, guns, whatever. Mm-hmm. People react and everybody wants to do something, but I feel like a lot of people put it off on somebody else. Like, okay, the government needs to do this. The AKC needs to do this. You know, it's like we're upset about something, but we're saying that it needs to be somebody else's mission, you know? Yeah. And so I sort of was reflecting on what can we do? Like, what can I do? What can you do? What can we do as a fancy? Because I think if anybody can be united over something, it's united over protecting our children. I don't know a single person who would disagree with the mission of let's do better for our next generation. But it's hard to invoke change. It's hard to start a movement. It's hard to unite people as just one solo person, especially in our sport. You know, I'm a breeder, owner, handler, and I have great relationships, but I know that I'm not going to get anything done on my own, no matter how dedicated I am. So because we'd had previous discussions, I remember when Carissa and Stacy and Mary had a discussion on Safe Sport previously, I reached out to Mary and just said, you know, what do you think about? And my idea was basically, let's do a grassroots movement. Let's control what we can control. And let's let people know that this training and this option is out there. And instead of mandating or instead of controlling somebody or demanding somebody do it, because I think that that immediately puts somebody on edge, like, let's say, okay, look, this option's out here. Let's pursue it. And if you do, we want to let other people know. We want to let juniors know. We want to let other people in our sport know that we've had this training and we're here to be a listening ear and we're here to provide support. And so I reached out to Mary and said, hey, like, what do you think about us offering? I mean, it's just us. Like,
hey, guess who's coming to join us?
Is Rissa here?
Rissa is here. Hi, Carissa. How you doing?
Doing good.
Carissa Shampino has joined us. I'm so excited. Welcome, Carissa.
Thank you.
Excellent. So, Lindsay, you were talking about this grassroots concept, and I really love it. And I really love, I'm just going to say it, the power of peer pressure. I love it. It is the most useful tool we have to make social change. And you guys nailed it. And I really love that. And I also think that so much of what's going on this week in the sport about Adam, about the other Adam, about all the things is about fear. And I think that the way we conquer fear is by being empowered, and knowledge is power. So that's my thinking. I also think that I was unaware that I could just go click a button, pay $20 and go through this program. I thought it had to come top down. So the beauty, the genius of what you guys have accomplished is finding a way to have it come from the bottom up. So Carissa, talk to us about why that resonates with you and why it was something you really wanted to help push forward.
Sure. So I guess I would have to say my biggest learning experience in what works and what doesn't work started last year when, you know, that we had a handler who had been to prison for raping his minor assistant, and he was returning to the world of dogs. And in my mind, I thought, well, what a beautiful way to show the young people of our sport that we actually have their back. Why don't we try and make some kind of policy within AKC that says, you know, if you've been convicted of X, Y, and Z, that we can't stop you from coming to the dog shows. We can't stop you from existing, and we can't make you a better person. but we can send a message to our little people and men and women around the sport in general, just saying, this is not what we're about. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a stand and we're going to draw a line in the sand. Because I have not worked in the corporate world, mm-hmm. I couldn't understand how it was even a thought process. Mm-hmm. And some of the feedback that I got was very triggering. Mm-hmm. And everything that I did was emotion-based. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, but this is right. But we're right. And this is the right thing to do. And that's all I could think. Like, it was almost like tunnel vision.
Right.
And a year ago, Mary actually said, you know, why don't we stop asking AKC to do this and we do something ourselves? Mm. And my response in that moment was like, because that's not right. We have to be the better people. Like, we have to make them do what's right. That mindset got me exactly nowhere mm-hmm. at all. It landed with the people that it didn't need to land with. You know, like the empaths of our world. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh my God, of course.
Right.
But we can't live in a world of just empaths. No one can. We need all types of people. And what I was doing was alienating mm-hmm. a very large group of people that we needed to make something happen that would actually help our sport. Mm-hmm. So when this came up a year later, and therapy is a miracle, so I did lots of that this past year. But when this subject came up a year later and Lindsay came out, you know, I reached out to Mary. I don't remember which one of us reached out to which one. And we were like, okay, it's happening again. Like, let's do something. Let's rally the troops. And Lindsay reached out with this exact same thing, but maybe a little more organized. And it was like, oh, yeah, this actually hit you in the head a year ago. But you were so tunnel blind. And I only bring that up because we have this large portion of people out there who are just, they're stuck in the injustice of it. And I want them to understand that we get that. And we don't want to minimize the pain, the trauma, or anything they've been through. But our group of people has learned through experience that we need everybody to receive this message. And in order for that to happen, we have to be way more organized and focused. We are not a vigilante team. This has nothing to do with the perpetrators themselves.
Right.
It's not even about necessarily protecting. It's about empowering. Right? Like through knowledge, right. Through education. Mary, what's our three-word slogan again that's safe sports?
It's prevent, recognize, respond.
Respond. Yeah.
Yes.
Respond.
Right? So
prevent, yep. Recognize, respond. And for the Safe Sport Training Program, it just gives you the tools
right.
to do that.
That's what I was just going to ask. If you could pick up on what Carissa was saying. And Carissa, I really have to give you some mad props because what you just said really resonated with me. Like, really resonated with me. Like, the injustice piece to the grassroots piece, I think that is such an important transition. And I think, you know, we're seeing just an awful lot of vigilantism and witch hunting and attacking that is doing more damage than the original damage, to be honest.
Yes.
To be honest.
I agree. There.
And so, Mary, I want you, if you would please, because I've downloaded it, I've paid for it, I just haven't had a minute to sit and go through it. Could you please walk us through what is this $20 course that I just bought? What am I going to learn? What are the important things? Is it appropriate for a child to take? That's my next question.
Well, okay, here's the thing. That's sort of the beauty of the Safe Sport platform, is that right now, what we're promoting, what we're telling people to take is the core course.
Right.
Which is basically for adults. You know, it's for adults. And it talks about what to look for. It talks about things like, this isn't like a monster hiding behind the bushes. That's not what these people are. They're people in, you know, well, like Adam.
Adam.
They're just people that you would never suspect this.
And I think an important thing that I want to bring forward is to think about, they may be people in your home.
Absolutely. I think more often than not, they can be people in your home or in your inner circle, in your close group of, it's not a stranger more times than not.
That's
it's somebody that has access generally. So what the program does is just kind of teaches you what to look for. And the three tenet words are, it in a nutshell, prevent, recognize, and it teaches you how to respond, both in how to help. I mean, we're not law enforcement. We're not that. It's just to enlighten people. And really what I think we want to do is make a cultural shift within the sport. Let me say this too. The sport is just a microcosm of the world at large. Yep. You know, this is not unique to our sport. You know, we're just a little pie section of what's happening in the real world. So I think that by just making everybody aware and making it not okay, It's not okay to show a picture of a naked junior to your other buddies in the group ring. It's not okay, you know, and we need to get that mind shift where everybody's willing to stand up and say, that's not okay, you know, and we have to be
this
our own.
Teaches you how, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
Like, it prevents the vigilantism because it empowers well-intentioned people with exact protocol. What is breaking policy and who do I contact? What is breaking the law and who do I contact? Mm-hmm. It goes in to make sure that, let's just say there's a victim and they come forward, right? The course will teach you exactly what you need to do to be the most helpful person so that you're not re-victimizing that person.
Yes.
I mean, obviously the victims are our focus, but we want everybody to be a part of this and everyone to join. And I think the biggest fear that I hear is like this vigilantism is like, oh, I'm going to get me too'd. It has a very negative context. But if you really take the course seriously, it puts all these steps in place to prevent exactly that.
Right.
Because you leave that course understanding, okay, this was policy that was broken. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just write something down for the show chairman and we're going to deal with it that way. Mm-hmm. And it might not even be a bench. It might just be a conversation, something that gets written down with AKC and filed away. But it's still showing that young person, no, no, we've got your back. You should feel comfortable and safe here without the negative parts of peer pressure coming down on the perpetrator. You know, like this is just for the law to deal with. It's not even for AKC to deal with.
Right.
What we hope is that AKC will see what we're trying to do and educate and empower, and we can be an ally to them.
Yeah.
So
I like that ally position. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew, check it. The results are in, and 96 of the 100 top all-breed show dogs in 2023 are fed ProPlan. The high-performance food is made with 30% protein and 20% fat to fuel the metabolic needs of an active, keenly motivated show dog while maintaining lean muscle. The owners and handlers of these top champions choose to feed ProPlan because it delivers concentrated nutrition to optimize oxygen metabolism for increased endurance, a pivotal part of campaigning a show dog. ProPlan promotes nutrition for joint health and mobility and for healthy skin and coat. The ease of feeding one of the ProPlan All Life Stages formulas that provide complete and balanced nutrition for puppies to senior dogs is an added bonus. Try ProPlan and see why more owners and handlers of top show dogs choose it. Visit purina.com/ProPlan/dogs to learn more about the number one dog food of show dog owners and handlers in 2023. All right, you guys, today's episode is sponsored by Clubistry, the leading club and membership management software designed to simplify administrative tasks, engage members, and establish a dynamic online presence for clubs of all sizes. With Clubistry, you can manage your club's website, memberships, applications, renewals, payments, events, roster, permissions, among many more features that will help your club thrive. If you didn't get a chance to listen to my conversation with the Clubistry team from December, make sure you go back and give it a check out. With many dog clubs already using Clubistry to manage their websites and memberships, you too can join for free today to discover how you can revolutionize your club's management and online presence. Visit clubistry.com to learn more and start for free today. Lindsay, talk to me a little bit. Again, I am not attempting to denigrate at all, but I'm asking you guys to respond to things that people have said to me. The things that people have said to me are that, and this one I've heard more than once, it's going to allow the perpetrator to take this and they're just going to be more successful at their attacks.
I've seen that too, is, oh, if they're wearing a pin, then someone's going to go to them and they're going to be able to take advantage of that person. And when you start to think about the layers that would have to happen for that to actually be true, I think you start to realize that that's not super possible. And if people and parents, and I definitely think parents have to take a role. And look, I'm an aunt. I'm not a parent, which is another reason why I value the course.
Yep.
Because it teaches me things too, to not put myself in a vulnerable position, you know, but that's another subject. To go back to your question, I think that, okay, someone's wearing a pin and they do have ill intent. Well, you have to have somebody who's first had a prior bad experience with somebody else, who then goes to somebody else that happens to have a pin. I just feel like that starts to get, I mean, maybe that happens, but I think that the actual chances of that happening are slimmer. And I think that if more people are aware and sort of paying attention, that that's not going to be that much of a concern.
That's the thing for me, is that I think we need to make the environment such that the bad actors are really uncomfortable there, mm-hmm. because they know that there are multiple people at the dog show who've taken this training mm-hmm. and who are more aware of what to look for and are more likely to see it. Like if you ever talk to Pam Bruce, you know, she can see Creepville a mile away, but that was her living. I mean, that's what she did as a detective. So I think part of this is to make the dog shows a really uncomfortable place for anybody who wants to be a bad actor in this way. And frankly, in the past, it hasn't been. Yeah. It hasn't been.
Well, no. And I think the good old boy system exists.
Yep.
You know, we
yeah, but it's not just the boys.
Trust me, I know. I say good old boy, and I really, I'd like to frame that in a better way. So Carissa, yeah. You go.
I want to elaborate too. That pin, that doesn't give you access to children. Mm-hmm. It's bringing awareness to the course. Mm-hmm. And what our hope is to grow our Show Safe program into something that models a little more like Take the Lead, right. where we can offer help and guidance and stuff with
Amazing.
Other awesome professionals that are in our sport. You know, they're not the dog handlers. They're the people that have dedicated their lives, like Pam Bruce, like Donald Sturtz. Mm-hmm. Like, we have wonderful people, too many to name, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. But everybody's going to bring in what they're best at. And we want to keep growing. So I cannot stress this enough. That pin does not give you access to a child. It does not make you more special or more important. It simply brings awareness to the program. It is not a free pass, and you can be wearing that pin. And if you get reported, because I also have this pin, I know who to contact. I'm not going to deal with you. I'm just going to call the police. And it doesn't matter what pins you have on your lapel. This is not a safety pin. This is not a free access to all children pin. This is simply bringing awareness and showing support of a beautiful program.
So if someone sees it, if you're in the ring next to somebody and they say, oh, what's that pin about? It gives anybody who's been through the course the opportunity to tell them tell them the opportunities that are out there.
Right. And I'll open this as a free-for-all, whoever wants to jump in on it, because this is sort of my space. And Chris and Mary, your moms, maybe you can help me. I want the children to be educated and empowered. I don't want them to feel as if they have no power. And that's super, super important to me. So can we talk a little bit about how to do that in a good and age-appropriate way?
Yeah, SafeSport has multi-tiered. I mean, the platform now, the SafeSport platform that we're utilizing, and with their blessing, has tiers for different levels. You know, they have education for 9 to 12-year-olds. They have education for teens. They have all these different tiers. And we're also hoping, and Rissa, you can jump in on this too, we're hoping to get information sent out, age-appropriate information for the parents and the children when they apply for a junior's number.
Yes.
So when they apply for a junior's number, they'll get a packet, which will include some information about this and the program and what we're doing and resources that they can.
Yeah. Chrissy, you should speak about what you do with Dobermans that we're hoping to scale, you know, nationwide.
Yes. So initially, we were just trying to like figure out a way to bring forward this education in a practical way that isn't like, oh my God, watch out for the boogeyman. Like, we don't want to scare people away from our sport at all.
Right.
So I had told these ladies what we incorporated into the Doberman Juniors Clinic. So like every year, the Friday before the junior show at the National, we give a 2-hour, that's what it's slotted. It usually goes about 4, but we give a junior seminar. So it starts with like, our breed is amazing because like Andy Litton will come and spend 3 hours with these kids answering endless questions. He brings his specials so they can like get to show these like famous dogs. Like, you should see their little hearts light up. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what they're there for. So we have their full attention. And then we go into, how do you keep your dog safe when you're at the dog show? Mm-hmm. How do you get your dog ring ready? And what we've added over the past few years is, how do we keep ourselves safe? Mm-hmm. What is good behavior versus bad behavior? And we literally run through scenarios. My eldest is on the autistic spectrum, right? So a lot of social skills have to be taught. And I have taken a lot of what I learned through those beautiful teachers and apply that to teaching the kids. And they learn so well from just like real life scenarios. Mm-hmm. And an example of the program working is, we had a 17-year-old, a male at the National, a male handler was taking pictures of her. The why, I don't know. And I'm not going to assume that I know at all. Still, you know, inappropriate. Mm. He's taking pictures of her. She knows that that's inappropriate and that she has rights, because we've discussed things like that. She walks right up to him and she said, I'm not comfortable with you taking pictures of me and I'd like you to delete them. He said no, he was kind of a jerk, but she knew exactly what to do. This didn't escalate and blow up. This was dealt with immediately because she knew what I do is I go get the show chair. The show chair went and got me as head of the juniors committee. We got another board member. We walked over, we had a conversation. The pictures were deleted. There was very firm discussions because, again, it's not about coming down on that one person and throwing them under the bus and taking away their living. It's about making that person so uncomfortable to behave that way that they choose not to.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
You know, so, but it worked. There was no big catastrophic thing. You didn't see anything on Facebook. You didn't see anything anywhere. But I promise you, every one of those junior girls saw that happen and they felt empowered. They felt like, you know what? People will listen to me if I'm really uncomfortable.
Right.
I can reach out and talk, and I actually know where to go and who to talk to. So we want to bring that program to every kennel club that will have us, every breed parent club that will have us. And we want to teach them how to give their own seminars, so that we're all giving the same united message. And we just want to support the clubs in doing that in a healthy and empowering way, instead of it being like divisive and, you know, scary. We don't want that. We want to just incorporate it. How do you take good care of your dog? We drill that into these little people. If you liken it to like the truck of golden retrievers that had that terrible thing happen, right? What if that girl had just been given more information before that happened? You know, and it doesn't matter whose job it is to seek out the information. What we're saying is, let's not wait for people to come find us. Let's just be proactive. Same thing. You know, let's say it wasn't a truck of golden retrievers and it was a possible rape situation. She would have known what to do because we would have already reached her. She would have already had this information. So we want to include it. How do you keep your dog safe? How do you keep yourself safe? How do you get your dog ring ready? Mm-hmm. It's all just good information to have, whether you stay in dogs or whether you go out into the real world and work in a corporate environment. That's so it's, we just want to make it inclusive.
I talk a lot, and you guys, anybody can jump in on this one, on the podcast, when I'm with juniors, whatever, junior showmanship and being in dogs, what is it, like 10% of those kids stay in dogs, right? But they all go out into the real world.
Yeah.
And the knowledge that I acquired in 4-H and junior showmanship, the knowledge of all of these young people that I've spoken to on the podcast who started in juniors and now have really important jobs, they started with the skill set that they acquired in juniors. And adding this to that skill set, to me, is just an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah. And think of how it has a lasting impact. Like, think of that first guy or girl. We've prepared them and they go out into the world and they really see how useful that knowledge is. And they have their family. You know, what sport are they going to choose to do with their family? Right. They're going to choose to do the sport that gave them the tools they needed to be successful people. So I just feel like if we stay focused on that goal, we're going to help so many people. People won't feel the same injustice and feel the need to be vigilantes on Facebook because we have a system that's in place, a proven system that, you know, Olympic teams take on because they believe in it so much. So we're not writing this content. We're just utilizing what's out there already and is already successful in other sports.
Excellent. Okay, Lindsay, any closing comments?
Well, I just think I would add that this is all supposed to be positive. You know, like there's nothing that you're going to learn. There's nothing that you're going to get from Safe Sport. There's nothing that any of us that are involved with it are going to do that's going to be detrimental. And so I think, you know, like I alluded to earlier, like this is something that can unite us all. Like we can all be passionate about, you know, protecting our children and empowering our children and also advocating for the adults that want to help. I mean, our sport is filled with so many amazing people who show dogs, they're familiar with dog care, and then they also have other experiences in life and other professions that can help. And, you know, you have, I mean, hundreds, and I don't want to be dramatic, but even, you know, in the thousands of people right now who are fired up about this and want to do something. And so we're simply giving an opportunity for people to learn more and feel like they have a role in our community that's positive.
Amazing.
Yeah, I just think we wanted to, Lindsay, you know, started it when she emailed me. And I said, yeah, you know what, Laura and Carissa are really fired up about it too. Laura King. I said, reach out to them.
I was fired up too, but I'm saying.
And I was, I mean, it was just like, well, let's do it. I mean, let's just do it, you know? And I think that more knowledge is always a better thing. Yes. You know, it's always a better thing. And like Carissa said, this isn't a vigilante thing. It's just empowering people to know what to do in situations that they might find themselves in. So
knowledge is power, people. That is the thing. Yeah. Ladies, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your stories. And thank you for creating this grassroots movement. I always think of the fact that one person can make a difference. And I think that we're looking at a few of them that really are making an effort to do that. So thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Thanks. Can I add one thing, Laura?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say that anybody who wants more information, we're going to get a Facebook page, but like we're 3 days old in this. So it's really
podcast,
new.
It's going to be a minute. So as soon as you guys have information, shoot it to me. I will add any contact information that you want me to put. I will put in the show notes on the website so people can go there, click whatever it is you have. And
we're going to need a lot of pins.
We're going to need a lot of pins. I can't tell you how many I've already seen, like in the last day, that people have already gone through.
Yeah, people are taking
it. I personally am going to need a minute because it's going to be a lot for me personally, but I'm saying I'm looking forward to it. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Anytime.
Yep.
Anytime. And I mean that. All right, crew. I hear from folks pretty much daily asking for a specific topic or for a series of podcasts on a topic. So ask and you shall receive. I've done all the hard work. I've sorted, searched, and compiled 8 different albums from the archives on our most popular topics. And when I say there's a podcast for that, I ain't just a woofin. Getting yours today is super simple. Just jump on puredogtalk.com/store and click the PDT albums image. And when you're in there, you're going to find a collection of veterinary voices. You're going to find a collection for breeding and whelping hands-on. You'll find Pure Dog Talk University on dog breeding. Love the breeds. Up your game. Owner handlers, the interviews, events and sports. There is so much there. And once you're in those links, you'll be able to read the details of the topic. For a special introductory price of $1.99, you get a link to dozens, up to more than 100 episodes on these specific topics. And while you're there, if you or a friend or family member are just getting started, even just starting a search for your first well-bred, purebred dog, you can also check out Auntie Laura's Beginner's Guide to Show Dogs at puredogtalk.com/book to get the foundational Pure Dog Talk episodes with bonus tracks. So hop on it, y'all. These special prices will not last. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.